Welcome to the Last Night I Watched podcast, the film review book club style podcast.
Each week, we choose a film that we think best sums up our current topic.
I'm Devon.
And I'm Luke.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
But before we start, spoiler alert.
Hello, and welcome back to Last Night I Watched.
Hello.
Hello there.
Somewhat of a difficult week. This is second recording. We had some audio issues.
Yes.
And secondly, as you may hear, Devon's suffering a little bit.
I have tonsillitis.
Devon's powering through.
Yeah, of the second time.
Yes.
Which I think deserves even more of a kudos.
Yes. A little tip of the cap. But also as well, we are looking at Candyman.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't bode well with you.
Nope. This has just generally been a bad week. Like
yeah.
A bad week.
Yes.
I went back to work last week after a 6-week break. I thought that was pretty bad. And then this week was like, nah.
Yeah.
You thought that was bad? Nah.
Yeah. So as Devon's mentioned, she's got fear of holes.
Yep.
And a fear of mirrors.
Yes.
Spectrophobia, which is the fear of mirrors.
Oh, is it?
Yep. And then trypophobia, which is an aversion to the sight of irregular patterns or clusters of small holes or bumps.
It's definitely the small together ones.
Yeah.
Because someone said to me the other day, they were like, oh, you'd hate like a big hole in the ground then. I'd be like, no, I'll be all right with that.
It's the cluster.
Yeah, it's the collection. And mainly it's like, it's a collection, but like my ultimate one that like triggers me more than anything is like a collection on skin.
Yeah.
Yep, even talking about it now, I feel a little bit icky. Like,
yeah.
All the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up.
Yeah, which this, mainly the second film, features quite heavily.
Yeah, definitely. And like, before even going in, Luke was like, should we go and see Candyman in the cinema? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you do know it's got mirrors in it. I was like, yeah, I can deal with it. And then he was like, and it's got like holes. And I'm like, really? A lot? Because like, I remember seeing the first one and didn't have a lot. And he's like, oh yeah, and it's kind of... looks kind of like acne marks, but more so. And I was like, that doesn't set me off. That's fine. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I think he very much downplayed it. So I walked into that little cinema with a little skip in my step, being like, look at me out in the world.
It's fine.
And then, like, I was triggered.
Yep.
Triggered.
I think most of those scenes you watched through my eyes. Anyway.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people were having, like, problems with the gore. And, like, at one point, there is very gory bit, especially in the new one. And, like, they're all looking away, people are squeamish, and I'm just there sitting, like, deadpan. Couldn't care less. Like,
yeah.
I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah.
And then it looks at this guy's arm that's, like, all gross for me, and everyone's like, oh, okay. And I'm just there, like, hands over my eyes, my jumper was up around my eyes at one point.
I'm watching the screen, but I know Devon's looking at me, so I'm there just watching it, and then I just nod. And that's kind of like Devon's signal to like, it's gone, you're fine.
But at one point, I was like hiding behind my knees, I think. I had like one leg up and I turned around and this guy was just looking at me and he was just, and he must have thought I was just the biggest chicken in like the whole world. That it was just generally a normal scene of a guy sitting in a chair and I was like shielding my eyes.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, maybe a 15's a bit much, love.
Yeah.
Stick to the PGs.
So, start a news place. I'll hit you with a synopsis.
Go synopsis.
Candyman. Cabrini Green's neighborhood boogeyman.
Careful you don't say it 5 times.
Candyman. With those sweets with the razor blade centers.
I don't like this.
Candyman. Say his name 5 times in front of a mirror.
Wait. You're not going to say it 5 times, are you? I feel like there's a 5 times coming.
Candyman. And he'll get you with his hook for a hand. And wait, how many times have I said it?
Too many. Okay, so I know this is remake week.
Yes.
I am very, like I said last week, very well aware this is not a remake. It was sold to me as a remake.
And I assumed it was a remake, especially with when films come out with just the same title again.
Yeah, that's kind of what...
If it's like Halloween, we see Halloween Kills. We know it's not a remake of...
What was the Halloween like 2018 called?
Just Halloween.
Oh, see, they screwed us again.
Yeah, because that was a sequel to the original.
Yeah.
And that's very much
like
this. Then it
should be like Halloween 2.
Yes. So I think that's the thing that we went into it thinking it was going to be a remake, like a modern remake.
Yeah, and it wasn't. It was a full-blown sequel. And the annoying thing was, because it was a sequel, we thought it was a remake, we just booked tickets and just went.
Yeah.
Without thinking much of it. And then... very quickly I was like, oh God, I wish I'd seen the first one more recently than I had.
Yeah, definitely. I'd kind of looked a bit on the internet for stuff just because I wanted to kind of somewhat, because it's been quite a while since I watched the original Candyman, the 90s version. So yeah, I did need a little bit of a refresher, but then
yeah,
obviously...
Yeah, see, I remember before we recently watched this, I don't think I'd ever seen the original Candyman. I remember putting it on to thinking I was going to get a slasher film, and I didn't, and I turned it off. I don't even think I got Tony Todd coming in, which was like 44 minutes into it.
Yeah, he does appear quite late into the actual film itself.
I've always thought that this was a... Always thought this was a slasher film. It was a 90s slasher film, always.
Yes,
but
yeah.
It isn't.
I mean, it starts in a kind of slasher tropes kind of, and I do like that kind
of urban legends
vibe to it.
Yeah.
But then it kind of takes on almost like a vampire story vibe, and almost becomes like a vampire romance story, especially when it gets kind of later and you've got Candyman and Helen's odd kind of...
It's very hypnotising.
Yes.
Before we get too deep, let me just give you the breakdown of this. So this film came out on the 19th of March 93 in the UK.
Okay.
And the 16th of October 92.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. I was going to say, March didn't seem like a March film.
No. The budget was an estimated $6 million.
Okay.
It grossed almost $26 million.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. IMDb is a 6.7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And Rotten Tomatoes is 77%. So it's a lot less than what we've been looking at recently.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people do the same thing I do. They went in thinking it was a slasher film. And it wasn't.
And I think there's a general tone around both of these films.
Yeah.
Regarding kind of race. I don't think we are going to be the experts in this, both being white British from the middle of Buckinghamshire.
In our little village.
So we're not going to be the experts in that. So it's something that we are not going to touch on much, because we don't think that that's the voice that...
Massively not. I am one of the whitest people I know. Like, my sister says I'm an Adams family because I could not go out in the sun in the summer. I have to wear SPF in the middle of winter. We're just talking about it as what we see, which probably is going to be completely different from someone else's story. And I'd love to hear other people's else's stories.
Yeah, definitely.
But I also think on the other side of that, you are going to have people who aren't receptive to that story who would rate this low.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to those people. I'm going to take this 6.7 and the 77% with a pinch of salt. So it starts off with Helen, who's the main protagonist in this film.
Yeah.
And she's researching her thesis.
Yes.
With her sort of co-writer, Bernadette, who was also in the Science and Labs.
Yes.
And they start hearing stories about Candyman, and she's sort of typing something up, and she hears about, like, the cleaner tells the story that her friend has, and her friend comes in and tells her the story. So she then hears about Candyman really focuses in Cabrini Green.
Yeah.
Which is like the projects in Chicago.
Mm.
So then she starts going there and looking more into it and things like that.
Mm.
So that's mainly her story, is just finding Candyman. And along the way, sort of some people are saying Candyman, you know, some people aren't.
Yeah.
When people say Candyman, they die like within 2 minutes.
The rules kind of do vary, mainly when they go into the second film.
Yeah, the second film is all over the place.
Yeah.
But the thing is about Candyman, he's a lot. Like, his lore is a lot.
Yeah.
So you've got him, he's got a hook.
Yeah.
So it's like the urban legend with the guy with the hook that attacks couples.
The
cars.
Young couple, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the story is a young couple are in a car at like a makeout spot, I think. Yeah. And they hear tapping. The guy goes out to see it. The story I've heard. The guy goes out to see it and he disappears. So the girl goes out, looks out, and the guy's hanging over the car. It's like blood is dripping, and that's what she was hearing. So she drives away, gets home, and there's a hook in the door. That's what I've heard.
Okay, my version, no one actually dies. There's just...
Of course mine's going to be more
Noise they ignore, drive home, and then there's a hook on the handle when they try and leave the car.
Yeah, no, mine's way more gruesome.
Yeah.
So you've got that. You've got a mixture of Bloody Mary, which you go into a mirror and you say three times.
Yeah.
And she appears and she kills you. So it's like a summoning.
There's sort of hypnosis, which is very kind of, as Dracula. I mentioned, Dracula. The sort of bees
there's
and
bees
the honey
as well,
and...
honey, yeah. There's a lot of lore to him.
Yeah, a lot of rules.
A lot of rules, but not firm rules. Like, Helen says Candyman five times. Her and her friend Bernadette are going to do it, and she chickens out. So Helen says it five times. he doesn't come after her. Like, she has days on end of nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Mm.
And then it starts, she sees a photo and he's behind her.
Yeah.
Then he starts to appear to her.
Mm.
But he's always being like, be my victim. I'll make you immortal. We'll be legends together. So he's not doing the usual thing. Like, she would have been killed in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not until 44 minutes that you actually see him interact with her.
Yeah, definitely. There's a different motive behind his kind of relationship with Helen.
With Helen. And sort of Helen, she's with this horrible guy who's a lecturer in the university. Yes. He's the real villain in this film. Let's not get any mistakes about this.
Yeah, I didn't kind of think of him as a villain, but he is definitely.
He's the bad guy of this film. Like, it was clear when they're like the very first like 10 minutes of like, well, the first 2 seconds of seeing this guy, I turned over to you and was like, he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
He's obviously getting it on with one of the students, which you could clearly see a mile away.
Yeah.
And then she sort of asks him about it, and he's like, are you really asking me this? Do you really think I'd do this? Yeah. She's like, oh, no, of course not.
Yeah.
Like, he's disgusting. And then at one point, like, she's going through a lot. She's in a bath, like every white woman does when they're going through something. They go in a bubble bath.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going through a lot right now. Yeah. You're so fragile. And I
don't think I can leave you alone for one second.
Yeah. I'll see you in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Check you. And he just leaves.
Yeah.
And she's in a bathroom being like, okay, thank you. And every time he's on screen, I was just like, oh, get off my screen, you absolute scumbag.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was more annoyed about him than anyone else.
Yeah.
So then you sort of see her story. They follow the real death, which is Ruthie May.
Yeah.
And she died in the Cabrini Green projects.
Yeah.
Her neighbour heard her screaming in her bathroom.
Mm.
She phoned the police and no one turned up.
No.
So when they finally got there, she'd been killed. Mm. It was very clear that she'd been killed with a hook.
Yeah.
So then Helen sort of investigates this.
Mm.
And she realises that her apartment had been through gentrification. So her apartment is now worth, like, ridiculous money. But it was built to be a project.
Yeah.
So when she took off her medicine cabinet, there was a hole.
Yeah.
Which if the neighbouring apartment also took off theirs, you could access through it.
Yeah.
So she goes, let's go and have a look at Cabrini Green, see if it's the same thing. So her and Bernadette go, they take off the cabinet and she sees it's the same thing. She goes through and it's like a gothic, rundown cathedral-esque.
Yeah, kind of with a lot of graffiti work and things like that.
Yeah, a lot of spaceship, kind of Shakespeare.
Yes, yeah.
Shakespeare.
Hamlet, isn't it? Sweets.
So then she thinks she solved it.
Mm.
She thinks it's somebody did this murder and they're blaming it on Candyman.
Yes.
So it's really sort of her story where she thinks she solves the Candyman case.
Yeah.
And then soon after, Candyman comes into the story. At this point, we've really not seen any real evidence of Candyman.
Yeah, no.
Murder right at the very beginning. We've heard about Ruthie May and stuff like this, but we haven't seen in this meantime, there's not been any deaths.
It's only been urban legends. It's all been kind of stories that people have been told, and a friend of mine knows this person. That
my brother's uncle, mother's son.
Yeah.
I don't know what that relation would be. If I said that, I'd probably be like, yeah, that's my brother.
Yeah. It's like a Hot Fuzz, isn't it? Aren't you Jackie's sister's brother's boy?
So it isn't until like 44 minutes in that you actually, this starts really.
Yeah.
Because till then it's kind of been a thriller.
Yes, yeah. It's almost kind of like Along Come a Spider.
Because it makes it seem like the gangs in Cabrini Green are actually the Candyman. They're using the Candyman name to do things. So it does seem more like a thriller. And then 44 minutes in, you think she's wrapped it up in a bow.
Yeah.
Solved it. And, you know, not only has she written her thesis, she solved a crime.
Mm.
And then the Candyman starts.
Yes.
And then you see him slowly hypnotising Helen.
Yes, and he has kind of booming, godlike voice. Yeah. They've obviously put some effects over his voice. Tony
Todd, who plays the Candyman, he's just got a beautiful voice anyway. Yeah. Like, he's pretty hypnotic, his voice. But they definitely added something. But also, when you notice especially when they're in the parking garage where you first meet Candyman, he's walking to come to Helen. He makes no noises. His feet, his footprint do not make a sound.
Mm.
And it's meant to be, because he's a legend, he's law.
Yeah. And I think there was something, I think the director I heard had said he was tired of the horror final girl trope of just screaming at stuff. And actually, it's more terrifying just to freeze and yeah. just kind of look
and she does that like she had like that the hills like Lauren Conrad like the slow you have no idea what I mean
no.
Lauren Conrad having like the slow mascara stained tear going down her face.
I'll have to take your word on that.
Have you never seen the gif of the girl with a really slow tear going down her face?
No.
You must miss a whole side of the internet that I look at. You have to think about the really old school villains. Think of a Jason, think of a Mike Myers. They are heavy.
Yeah.
They shuffle, they
sort of stomp through, yeah.
You know, they make their presence known. Where he's almost the opposite. He's demure, really.
It seems ghost-like as well.
Well, I think that's the thing. He is a ghost.
And I think that's kind of, it's unnatural at that point.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Mm. So then he's like, be my willing victim. Come with me.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no. And then she thinks she's delusional and she thinks she's just going a little bit insane.
Yeah.
She sort of has this and then she wakes up in Anne-Marie's house or apartment.
Yes.
And there is blood everywhere.
Yeah.
She wakes up on the bathroom floor, like covered under a jacket, I think.
Yes, yeah, she's hidden under it.
Yeah. And there's literally blood everywhere. And she wakes up, baby Anthony's gone, Anne-Marie's screaming, dog's got his head cut off.
Yeah.
Some reason she decides to grab a meat cleaver.
I think at that point, Anne-Marie sort of comes at her.
Oh, I don't know. I just remember just seeing her grab a meat cleaver. And I was like, you're going to put your fingerprints all over that. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So then the police rush in. They see Helen over Anne-Marie with a meat cleaver and blood literally everywhere.
Yeah.
So then there's the whole thing of now she's been arrested. And that's when they have the bathtub scene. Because for some reason, she's under arrest for definitely murder of this dog. But also attempted murder of or kidnapping of a baby. And she gets let out on bail, like, almost immediately.
Again, kind of a talk on how a white woman would just get away with it.
But I'm shocked at that. I was like, oh, and why is she let out? It's ridiculous.
Because at the moment, they don't have her on... They've got her on killing a dog.
Yeah.
Wouldn't necessarily be a crime, but they don't have her on anything else. So
it's
until
breaking
and
entering, because she got in there, like, unknown sad movie, probably. Like,
yeah, so imagine she's out on some form of bail anyway,
still.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is a good thing about, because she goes and sees the police earlier when she's almost a victim, and they treat her like, you know, red carpet sort of thing, and then she goes back in and she's being treated for this attempted kidnap, and it's just a completely
literally
different
thing. The good cop goes bad cop.
Yeah. So she can't understand it because she literally can't remember anything.
Mm.
So then you have this story of her trying to remember the Candyman sort of coming after her, but he's coming after her in a way of not trying to kill her, but making her sacrifice herself.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of why I've likened it to this kind of vampire, because it's almost like that Dracula's Bride.
Well, that's the whole story. And then we get the story of Candyman. We get his lore. So back in like the 1800s, his father put his son through art school.
Yeah.
And then Candyman, before it was Candyman, would go around and paint rich people.
Yeah.
And one time when he was doing one of these portraits, he fell in love with one of these rich guys' white daughter.
Yeah.
And she got pregnant. He found out about it and murdered Candyman. He got all the townspeople to kill him.
Yeah, like a mob.
They went after him. They cut off his hand, put a hook in there.
Yeah, they beat him and things like that. And then they also covering him in
honey. And the bees go after him. Mm. And then he's finally lynched. It's just horrific, horrific things. And it was almost like he could never be an equal in their eyes, which is just really sad.
Yeah.
So this injustice has birthed Candyman.
Yeah.
They say that with like a lot of deaths, when something is so barbaric and horrible, that energy has to stay.
Mm.
That energy just can't go.
Yeah.
So that's when they say places get haunted, you know. Or, but this isn't that place has got haunted, where it did happen in Cabrini Green, that whole story. But not only is it sort of haunted, he himself is a legend that is now powerful enough to come back.
Yeah.
But he needs people to know about him. He needs a congregation. And that's why his whole place where he is meant to look like a Gothic cathedral, because it is like a religion.
Yeah.
And then there's one point when he finally gets Helen and she kind of agrees to go with him.
Yes, yeah. I think she gets to a point where this court case that's like looming on her, there's no way of her out of it. So she's like, oh, I might as well try this.
Yeah. He says he won't hurt the baby as well.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, fine. She's got kind of nothing to live for at this point.
Yeah.
And his little ghostly memo things aren't helping her.
No.
So she agrees to it. And this is where they have the iconic, like, bee kiss.
Yes, yes.
Where there are, like, bees everywhere, and, like, bees are coming out of his mouth and, like, all over her hand, and he opens his chest and it's just bees.
Yeah.
And she wakes up from this bee makeout session, and she finds a wall that says, "It was always you, Helen. It was always you." And there's a picture of, like, on this mural where it tells the Candyman story of the girl of the story, and it looks identical to Helen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this is almost a reincarnation, and he's found her again.
Yeah.
All these years. That's how I took it. I don't know if anyone else did.
Yeah, I think it's always quite interesting when films do something like that and kind of leave it somewhat open to interpretation. Obviously, you have the same with Jack in The Shining. You've always been the caretaker.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they don't really explain it. They just give you a little thing like that. This little picture on the wall. They look quite similar. Is it, are we distant relation?
Mm-hmm.
Are we a reincarnation?
Yeah.
Is it just sheer luck that he's found her and he just happens to look like her?
Yeah,
it leaves it open, and I think that satisfies
just
everybody.
Two blonde women that look kind of similar.
Yeah.
And it has to be really the person who painted on the wall.
Yeah.
Because if it was just like someone that did it like last week, they're really just going for whatever
they're actually terrible at drawing what the original person looked like. It just happens to be like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, that works.
The real person was a redhead.
Yeah.
One eye.
Yeah.
I've lost my train of thought. I've just got this redhead, one eye, like peg-legged lady just walking down the street. So then she thinks that she's done her deal. She thinks that they're going to be immortal and the baby's going to be fine. And then she realised that Candyman's fooled her, and now the baby is in a big bonfire that's out the front of this apartment. Helen runs in. She's using like a hook that she's found to like move things around. So this is a huge, huge bonfire.
Yeah.
And a kid sees this hook.
Yeah.
And tells everyone that the Candyman's in there, so to burn it down.
Yeah.
So she's in there trying to get the baby. The fire starts. Candyman's just like, let us all be together. So I kind of took it that he was Candyman, of course. She was the woman back from the olden days, and this baby Anthony was almost like their surrogate child that they never got to have.
Yeah.
That's how I took it, and they were almost their little family going to be together forever.
Yeah, trying to complete what they had. Yeah.
That's why I found the baby is significant in the first one, because apart from that, there's no real reason to have that baby around. And just as she's about to accept this, she's like, nah. And she sees Anne-Marie sort of really upset, and she climbs out of this fire as it's going, and she's like getting more and more on fire.
Yeah.
She crawls out, gives the baby back, baby's absolutely fine. And she dies, right?
Yes, yeah.
She dies there. And then the Candyman blows up and he just turns into like a load of bees.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it ends. Apart from right at the end, her boyfriend, her husband rather, I think his name is Richard or Jonathan or one of those names.
I mean, Richard would be apt, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Trevor.
Not even close.
Trevor.
All right. Well, Trevor. And the whole time. And there was one point where she went back to the apartment to be like she'd broken out of this institute and he was trying to like have a comfort of her husband. And he's shacked up with this young student who's like painting their house like a hideous colour.
Yeah.
So she's dead now. They had a whole funeral. And all the Cabrini Green came to this funeral and like threw the hook in and sort of like thanked her.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were angry at her. Because if she wasn't anything to do with the Candyman, say this was just a story on her own.
Yeah.
They've had a crazy white woman come in, kill a dog, kidnap a baby and go to burn it in a bonfire.
Yeah.
Which is like the two worst things. You don't do child abuse and you don't do animal abuse. Yeah. They come and sort of almost thank her. So, and then like barely anyone's at this funeral as well. So the next day or whenever, Trevor is having a hard time. He's having a hard time in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And his young girl's like not being able to cook and she's bashing everything around. She cuts her hand at one point. And she's just a loser.
Yeah.
And he's in the kitchen and he's in the bathroom having like a slow sob. Being like, Helen. Like.
Yeah.
And just like banging the mirror being like, oh, Helen. And he says it five times, and then there's like thunder and lightning. Helen appears.
Yeah.
And just smashes him up, like slices him to pieces.
Yeah.
And then that's the end.
Yes.
We have now covered the whole of Candyman. So she's now resurrected as her own new Bloody Mary. So yeah, that's Candyman 1 summed up, all in all.
Yeah.
All the bells and whistles, spoilers to the max.
Yeah.
So this film was written by, what's his name? Don't know. It was written by a guy.
Yep.
The book was called The Forbidden, and he was one of the executive producers for this film, and he also wrote Hellraiser.
Okay.
So this book was set in the UK.
Okay.
It was set in like a fictional English council estate.
Yeah.
And the bonfire makes so much more sense in the British one because it links into Guy Fawkes Night, where we have the big bonfire.
Bonfire night, yeah.
So that doesn't really follow over to the American side of things. So that's why sometimes the bonfire in the first film doesn't...
It doesn't really kind of...
doesn't work.
They kind of say there's just a tradition.
Yeah.
That they have. Bonfire night is...
Yeah. It's a big deal here.
Yeah. So it does, yeah, it does make more sense.
But it was so integral to the story, they couldn't get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it was important. Mm. And I know you were saying, like, Tony Todd is really hypnotising in his role.
Mm.
And that was because Virginia Madsen, who plays Helen,
yeah,
was actually hypnotised.
Okay.
She went to... the director went to a hypnotist, and he was given a trigger word. So at any point, whenever he decided, he could put her under.
Was it Candyman?
No. She'd be in and out like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
So they never say what the trigger word is. I don't know if it's still active and you could just say it and just like being a troll. But the thing is, it would say this whenever, and she would lose huge chunks of time because these scenes could take, you know, hours.
Yeah.
So she'd be out of it like with this sort of gazed face for the whole time. And I don't know if the beginning bit when she was like had the tear roll down her face was while she was hypnotized, because that's pretty sad.
Hypnosis and things like that is just weird and scary.
I would never mess with hypnosis. No. I don't want to find out whatever I've repressed. It can stay hidden. Thank you very much. Yes, and she was losing huge amounts of time, so this really affected her. So she was like, nope, you know, I'm a good actress. Let me just do me. So I don't know what scenes specifically are under hypnosis and what aren't.
She might not know either as well when they go, what did you do in this scene?
I don't know.
I really hope
she's not still under like fear of being hypnotized. Like
word.
Listen to the radio. Yeah. And you're like,
gone.
But it sounds like that overall they had a good film. She says she really liked it and she likes being known for this, and this is the film she's known most for.
Mm.
But of course, she originally said no to this. She said, thanks very much, but nah. Because she said she's allergic to bees.
Okay, handy.
So she said to the director, thanks very much, but nope, I'm allergic to bees. And he said, no, you're not.
Okay, doctor.
Yeah, no, you're not. Without looking at any of your medical history whatsoever, No, you are not. You are too scared of them. So they went to UCLA so she could prove to him that she was actually allergic, and she was. She is allergic. She's a lot more allergic to wasps than bees, but still very allergic.
Yeah.
So then he was like, okay, we'll just have paramedics on the side. You'll be fine. She was like, okay.
Yeah, I suppose it's nice to be wanted.
Yeah, she says, you know, actors will do anything for a paycheck.
Yeah.
So fine, I'll be covered in bees. So they used specially bred bees that had to be less than 12 hours old because they didn't have a strong enough stinger at that point to actually... So they would have the venom and stuff, but it wouldn't be strong enough to pierce the skin.
Yeah.
So they had like a special beekeeper. They had like a special bee hoover, which would take like 45 minutes to suck up all these bees. So they'd say like there'd be like ages
I've
doing
now just
thing.
Got visions of bees hoovering. I've gone off topic.
I've gone. So they said like they'd have to do the scene and then like lie there for 45 minutes while they have this hoover.
Yeah.
It's a little like dustbuster to suck everything up.
I assume humanely hoovered up.
Oh yeah,
and not
no,
just
they,
like,
they had like a no, they had like a bee.
A special bee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a bee guard. Like a
keeper.
Queen. A beekeeper probably. Yeah. But Tony Todd did negotiate a bonus for every bee sting that he suffered that he would get $1,000. And over the three films, he got stung between 26 and 28 times. I have differing numbers. So he got at least 26,000 for just bees alone.
There's obviously the famous, as you mentioned earlier, where the bees come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
That was actually done, and they did actually have like a prosthetic thing put in his mouth for like kind of a bee holder.
Yeah, I don't think any of the scenes really from the first one are CG. Like, it's all bees.
Although the bees were... This was to stop the bees going down his throat. Yeah. There was a few instances where the bees actually got behind
Imagine if you like just crawled down your throat. Like, what would happen? Maybe it like crawled into your lungs. Oh, I've gone too far.
Yeah,
gone
too far.
So what do you want? I've got some reviews. I've got kill count. What do you want?
Kill count. Run through that quick.
Kill count. So first of all, we've got Clara. She was a babysitter right at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
This was one of the things I didn't understand the rules. So she and her boyfriend were doing bloody... I was going to say Bloody Mary, but no, they were doing Candyman in the bathroom. He said it four times and chickened out. She then said it once after he'd left.
Yeah.
And then immediately got killed.
Which doesn't seem like that's the rules.
No, it doesn't seem like it's
the rules. But that's the first introduction we have to Candyman ever. Yeah,
and he also killed the baby in the next room, which was asleep. So yes. He had no involvement with the Candyman summoning and whatsoever.
Couldn't say Candyman.
No.
Yeah.
And we never saw him, so I'm not counting him or her, the baby.
The baby.
Clara, she was killed off screen. She's my first. And then Bernadette.
Okay.
She was killed by Candyman off scene. Go back to her and she's got this awful makeup on her.
Yes.
And then Dr. Burke, who was Helen's psychiatrist when she was in the Institute.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he was stabbed from behind by Candyman.
Quite a kind of shocking death, that one. Because you don't expect it.
And again, he wasn't the one that said Candyman.
That's probably one of the coolest scenes. And then even, so Tony Todd, Candyman, then gets ripped out the window. And you can see the wires, but it's such a cool, exit.
It is. He just folds his shoulders backwards. Yeah. It's like a bat.
Yeah.
And then Candyman himself, he burns in that fire and turns into bees.
Yep.
Number five is Helen. She died from injuries from the fire.
Yep.
Number six is Trevor, and he was hooked to death, is what I've written, by Helen.
He deserved it.
Yep. And then we do have kill count / dog count of a dog.
Yeah.
And it was a barking dog, and it looks like a Rottweiler. Not 100% sure it was, but had that kind of look to it.
Yeah.
So overall, not too many kills.
Mm.
Six and a dog.
Six and a dog. Cool. Reviews?
Reviews. So overall, on Amazon, we've got a 4.5 out of 5, which is very high.
Yeah.
So starting off with 5-star. A smart horror film that elevates the genre. A thinking man's horror movie with plenty of scares, but also a fascinating premises and beautiful soundtrack. The elements that make Candyman unique elevate it beyond a mere slasher film without becoming pretentious.
There's a little bit of pretentiousness in the comment. Yeah.
And someone likes elates.
Elevates.
Yeah.
Elevates.
What is elates? It's like bigging up. It's like floating, right? Elate. You elate something. I don't know. I've lost.
Yeah.
Second one. A really good film. Lots of gore and really creepy. Scared me. Definitely not for the faint-hearted. I don't think there's a lot of gore in this.
No, I don't think there's a lot.
Another 5-star. My girlfriend loved it. Not my thing, though. Scary movies.
Is that 5-star as
well?
That
was a 5-star.
5-star. Okay.
They really must like their girlfriend.
That's one of those things. I didn't like it. What did you think? Oh, 5. Okay. Yeah. Should we call it about a 4? No, 5.
Another 5. Amazing. Tony Todd really makes this film. His on-screen presence and hypnotic voice make this film so very haunting.
Yeah.
True facts. 1-star. I got this film for a friend, so I have not watched it, and nor do I intend to.
That's more a review of the purchase rather than the film.
But not really. If I got an Amazon DVD for a friend and it turned up and I gave that friend it to them, that would be a 5-star because it arrived.
Yeah.
So I could give it to my friend. This sounds like they gave it to their friend and they're angry about it.
Yeah.
This person doesn't like friends in general.
Yeah.
2-star. I've seen better, overrated drivel that deserves none of the accolades it's received. No more than not a bad horror film.
No more than not a bad horror film.
Yeah, it's a bit of a paradox, isn't it?
So it's a good horror film?
It's a good horror film.
Yeah, no more than not.
Yeah, so it's a good horror film.
Yeah.
So I think you got your star rating wrong there, mate.
Yes.
And those were like literally the only bad reviews on Amazon. So that's why I had to pick them. That's why I had to pick the one that was talking about it turned up.
Yeah.
There was like none. The rest are just like 1-star, 2-star with no comment.
Yeah.
So I went to Letterboxd and got this 0.5-star review. This movie was so overhyped, it's so confusing, it makes no sense at all. They label it as a slasher film, which makes no sense since it's a ghost, demon, whatever.
I don't think that's right because
Jason.
Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Myers. Somewhat. Mike Myers is more on the fence, but definitely Jason. Jason, there is like something not right about Jason.
Yeah, Jason is already dead to begin with. He's never alive.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is completely dead.
Yeah.
I was just like, he's just not right. But yeah, he died as a child.
Yeah.
It's weird. If you think about Jason, he died as a child, right?
Mm.
So why is he a full-blown adult? I've never made that correlation. Why is he so huge? This is 1-star. I am terrified of bees. So you think this would have worked for me, but no, it sucked.
I suppose the bees they're not necessarily used against people as such. The bees are kind
of
more...
they're not like a scary thing. They're just there.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not like the bees attack people and things like that. It's not...
I don't like the mirrors, but they're the least of my issues.
It was the guy in the mirror.
It's the guy in the mirror, yeah. That's the problem. That's the guy I had an issue with. So we'll go and talk about the scores of this film at the end, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so going on to 2021, Candyman.
So 2021 was my task to look at.
Yeah.
And it's a new film, so there's not a lot out there.
And we want to be like, I know there's some podcasts out there that's fine with doing spoilers and more power to you and go listen to those, but I didn't want to go to the cinema at this time. Like, yeah. COVID times are still very there. People are not wearing masks nor getting vaccinated quickly.
Yeah.
So I wasn't feeling up for going to cinema. Went anyway.
Mm.
So I get that people aren't going to want to go to the cinema. So
yeah, we're going to try and be somewhat spoiler-free on this new film. So we're not going to do a kill count.
Nope.
Just because that gives away some... Yeah.
Plus it was very difficult to make any form of notes in a dark cinema.
Yes. There will be a kind of an element of kind of spoileriness just from how we talk about the film. So if you don't want to see it, pause, come back to it later.
Yeah, but if you want a little bit going in.
Yeah, if you want
a trailer.
Yes. So budget-wise, we have 25 million.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing my job.
A little bit of your job.
Get my voice saved a bit.
Budget, 25 million. Opening weekend, this made 22 million.
Yeah.
It's obviously still an ongoing cinema film, so we don't actually have an actual...
I've got it grossed over 59 million at the moment.
Okay, I just did opening weekend.
I did a worldwide.
Okay, yeah.
I'm good at my job.
So this is from director Nina DaCosta.
Yes.
Who... is kind of unknown in some way. She's done a couple of things. I know her from Top Boy, which is a kind of a TV series. But other than that, she's a new director.
Mm. A female, that's awesome.
Yeah, a black female director as well.
Awesome.
And obviously it's also written by Nina DaCosta, Jordan Peele, and Wynne Rosenfeld. I think when I got excited for this to start off with, because I was like, oh, it's Jordan Peele. It's a Jordan Peele film. And then... for me, I think part of it drifted away when I just saw he was just writing it.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's some box office records for Nina DaCosta.
I can see it. This is like the first good film that's been out in a while that's made me actually want to go to the cinema. Like, there's some stinkers out there.
Yeah, so far this has actually just won 2 awards. Most Anticipated Film of 2021 and Director to Watch.
Awesome.
So they're kind of just a couple of awards that this has won so far.
Yeah.
Actually sort of going into the film itself.
Yeah.
One of the first things that sort of caught us out.
Well, the first thing that caught me out, being like, what, over 2 years ago to cinema?
Yes.
2.5 years? Can't remember the last time I went.
I think mine was Endgame last time
I
went to
cinema. Yeah, I wasn't feeling very well, so I didn't go and see that. Luke went to cinema on his own on that. Loser. So I was in there, and it's so loud.
Yeah.
Like, it's the loudest thing in the world.
Yeah, I suppose if you haven't been in that environment for so long.
It's so loud.
Yeah.
I really struggled. And I didn't even have that, like, you know, the advert was like, bong.
The THX one, yeah.
Yeah, didn't even have that. It was just normal adverts. And I was like, this is the loudest thing I think I've ever heard in my life. And I honestly was so overstimulated. And then the lights went out, and I was like, this is the darkest I have ever seen. Like, for years, I haven't been in that kind of level of pitch black. So I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat, people were around me. It was dark. It was very loud. I was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was, obviously... we went quite early on. We went first week, maybe?
Yeah, because we went on a Monday. I think it was a bank holiday Monday, wasn't it? So, I think it came out on the Friday and we went on the Monday.
Yeah, so we went there and 12 people in the cinema, maybe?
Yeah, it was the latest viewing.
Yeah, so there wasn't a lot of people in there. That somewhat eased my sort of COVID fears.
Oh, yeah. There was
plenty of distance.
By the time it was so loud, that was the only thing my head could focus on.
Yeah.
So I could have been... people could have been coughing right in my face and I would have not acknowledged it. It was too much.
Yeah.
I struggled.
And then the film started. And looking back, it's actually quite cool, but it confused us to start off with.
Yeah, very
confusing. With the... advertising is backwards.
It's all the production companies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the actual kind of, like, you know, Universal, whoever it is that kind of did this film, it's all backwards. And we kind of thought, we haven't been to the cinema for some time. The guys haven't been working for some time. The people in the projection booth, they've just put the film on backwards. Maybe someone should go let them know.
Yeah, and I was sort of in this thing of being like, is it backwards? I was like, maybe they've put the film on. And I was like, is it even filmed now? I thought it was a DVD. So all of this is going around my head as these things are coming up, and I'm being like, who's the person that's going to go and have to tell the attendant?
Yeah, and we start kind of, everyone's kind of doing these little side glances to each other.
Everyone's shifting.
And they're all kind of thinking the same, going, it's no one's note.
Yeah, and everyone's sort of like looking around, be like, am I going to have to be the person that stands? Is it going to have to be me?
Yes.
Like, everybody's having this exact same thought, and we're just sort of looking around for someone else to stand up at this point and, like, go and suck it up and go and ask someone.
Yeah, and then it's quite funny because I think you said it louder than you thought you said it.
First of all, it was very loud. Yeah. I haven't said this enough in this bit. So it was very, very loud. I was very desensitized at this point. And I don't talk in the cinema. I'm very good at this, but I did.
Yeah.
And I was... As I went to go and speak to Luke in this bit, it was a loud bit. So I adjusted my voice.
Yeah.
And then it went like silent. Yeah. So I pretty much almost shouted to Luke my theory of this.
He was like, oh, it's mirrored.
It's a
mirrored. And you could just hear the kind of faint kind of trickle through the cinema of these just like other 10 people going,
yes, it's all right. We can sit down.
Yeah.
It was like a sigh of relief of everyone's sort of collective shoulders falling down a little bit.
Yeah, like, I've cracked it, don't worry. Not the person that just basically shouted it out. But yeah, so it took us far too long to get it, but you were first.
I was first. Yeah. Like, give me credit where credit due. Yeah. So I feel pretty proud of that. I do feel bad about shouting the cinema, but I think everybody was appreciative for it.
Yeah, and I do think that's one kind of thing with this film that I do like, is it is shot well.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
even kind of the shot well to, you know, this film after the kind of backwards thing shows us, it's Chicago, isn't it? It's all set in. The actual opening sequence is looking up at Chicago, kind of looking at all these skyscrapers going past as we're driving along, which is a mirror image of
the beginning of the original film. The first one had a very Shining-esque. It was shot from high, and you were following a car. It was all like a city Shining-esque.
Yes,
sort of thing.
I did like that. I do like that they have this urban legend vibe again. Yeah. When you have the schoolgirls and the way that kind of
this one, I feel more goes into the lore more.
Yes,
like the actual Candyman.
Yes,
it evolves.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of the original story, it's got that added little extra of what happened next.
How it can develop. Yeah. One person picks up the story and then passes it on to another
people. Because that's the thing about
and...
these like urban legends. Like every time someone else tells it, it goes on. And then what happens when people stop telling it?
Yes.
So it's almost got to evolving all the time.
Yeah, it's basically like a game of telephone.
Yeah.
CGI in this, I think sometimes it's really good. Like the way the bees land on the mirror and then kind of
That was actually one of my favorite scenes, because there's like a bit where a bee, and this is coming from someone who doesn't like mirrors, so there's a bit where a bee lands on a mirror and he goes to touch it and it's actually on the other side of the mirror, so it's like a world, the other world.
Yeah, but it's kind of on his side and then he goes to touch it and then it's on the other side and flies away.
And
I think that's very clever.
I liked it.
Yeah, that's very clever. But I think there's certain times, like there's a bit when the art exhibition, when the screen gets cut in half, I just found the screen a little bit too floppy. And
I liked it. It reminded me of like a 90s trick of how it was done. You can sort of half see it in mirrors and then half see it in real life. And it had a real ghosty vibe. I liked that.
Yeah,
that
I just found it a little bit too floppy and just didn't seem... It seemed like CGI.
I was not focused enough to pick that up. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. There's one thing that was in the trailer but never actually comes through in the film.
Okay.
So in the trailer, there is a shot of, in this chapel scene.
Yeah.
In one of the pews, you see Helen.
Okay.
Yeah, so Helen kind of as she is in the end of the first film. That's in the trailer, but it never makes it through to the final film.
Is it ever said why?
No, and I don't really know why. This one thing about this film, I think there was a lot of cutting.
Yeah, I was going to say, we all know I love a tight 90.
Yes.
I say it all the time.
This is 91 minutes, 1 hour 31.
A tight 90, and it does feel like it ends somewhat abruptly.
Yes.
So as this is coming from me, who loves a short, concise, in and out film, it could have done with being longer. It felt like it was, you almost felt like you got to the middle bit and then it was like, okay, and we're done now, all right.
It accelerates, it massively accelerates.
Yeah. And there was a lot of people in the cinema, like maybe out of the 12 that were there, five of us left when it ended.
Mm.
And everyone was sitting around. So I don't know if there was like deleted scenes after the credit, because nobody moved. Like we left, another couple went, and then like one of a couple left.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's like a deleted scene, but I think everyone was just like, okay.
And this is the thing with this film. I do like the film, but I just think there's certain elements that just seems cut. It doesn't seem finished. There's certain storylines that I would change if that was if that was me.
I like it. The thing is, this film has, it's got like a heavy vibe around it, where it's going to be more in depth. It's going to have like confronting of racial prejudice and things like that, which it does. But at the same time, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
And for the basic, because, you know, I am a white person, I'm incredibly privileged, so I don't know any of that side of
it.
So for me, going in and watching it as a horror film, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was good. You know, it had what I wanted. I thought the end was at the left field slightly.
Yeah.
But again, I would like to see sort of like, yeah, like you said, if there was any deleted scenes or anything. But at the same time, I will watch this again, 100%.
Yeah, I think the problems that I have with this are the scene with Brianna's dad.
Yeah. Brianna is, so the main guy is this guy called Anthony.
Yeah.
He's an artist. He, to bring up a new collection of his art, his Brianna, who's his girlfriend, brother, tells him the story about Helen and Cabrini Green. And then he goes and looks into it.
Yeah.
And this is the story of him making the art, which then gets Candyman's name around.
Yeah, say my name.
And it kind of goes viral. It's got that cool social media touch, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
It elevates it.
Yeah. And I just, there's certain things that
I, oh, did I just use that word from the...
Elevate, yeah.
Yeah, it's rubbed off. I'd be pretentious.
But for me, there's certain just tightening up of things. Like, I don't think the dad scene... And then I think also William Burke as a character.
Mm-hmm.
If I was rewriting them, I would combine that into one character. Because we have kind of little things. So we see the dad, and we see the dad is painting.
Yeah, the dad is a well-known painter.
Yeah.
And Brianna grows up to manage his gallery. She's not an owner, but she like manages the artist. Yeah. She gets the exhibitions going. And she's good at it. She's being headhunted at one point. But it's kind of the thing where her dad was a struggling artist that needed the extra bit of support. So it's almost like feels like she could save others.
Yes.
So I think that's sort of her backstory. Yeah.
And I think for me, you see the dad, and then we see the paintings, and then we also see later on that Anthony paints some paintings because of the kind of Candyman influence. And then she freaks out at these paintings.
Well, it's good. They're quite gory paintings.
They're quite gory and stuff, but I think they could have easily... She could have seen the paintings. He goes like, "What's up?" And then he goes, because they mention that she still has her dad's paintings.
Yeah.
Then he says like, "What's up?" And he's like, "Well, I'll tell you what's up." And then she goes, gets the paintings, puts them side by side, and they've painted like the same thing. And it's kind of like there's an influence potentially there that, you know, an influence. Like,
I think without going too into it, I don't think the dad and William Burke should have been the same thing, like attached. But I think her dad should be down the same path as Anthony. And that's how he finished his path.
I kind of also then the fact that...
It is, but like, especially watching certain films where you're kind of looking for things, her dad and his story and like his suicide and stuff is mentioned an awful lot for something that is just very minor.
Yes, yeah.
So it makes you think that there is more.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I kind of was hoping more, and then kind of the fact that Anthony visits the laundromat and he has conversations with this William Burke character around the kind of Candyman and stuff like that.
He gives him the full story.
If that was the dad, you know, almost like a ghost kind of character.
I think you're overthinking
that. He was talking to him, because then also then
when... Because like the guy William Burke, he's got his own backstory.
But that's, I think, the whole, basically, find and replace William Burke for the dad.
I don't know.
And
no.
I think I'd be happy with it. Because also, like, when she goes to the laundromat, she doesn't really see him, and she ends up getting locked in, and that kind of, like, ghostly figure works for that, I think.
No, I think you're overthinking it. Yeah. I like William Burke. So I think if the dad was mentioned that much, I think it should have been down the same line as he was going down the same line as Anthony, sort of that sort of path. And instead of him going to the end of the path, he committed suicide.
Mm.
But I think William Burke's character... he's got his own path, he's got his own things, his own issues and things he wants pushing him. And again, when you see it, you might understand more, but I think he's fine.
Mm.
I liked him.
I feel that they do things very little payoff.
Yeah.
You know, it may be that...
And the way, you know, when Brianna does have a flashback to her death, that's one of the, like, most poignant bits, I feel like, is...
Yes, yeah, and that's the thing. It's such a poignant scene for what is quite a small payoff, but maybe...
I think it's just to flesh out her character, because she's not the protagonist in this.
No.
And then a little bit later in... You know, she is. So it just flips. So you're giving her a backstory, and I think she's a great character in the film.
Yeah.
I think she's solid. And I don't think that, you know, I get Candyman, especially in the first one, is Helen and Candyman seemed like they were destined to me, and all of everything Helen went through was to get her to go to Candyman.
Mm.
I generally don't think in relationships it's destined to be. You're not there for a higher purpose.
Mm.
And, like, so her dad being... him and them linking, it would be too cliche, it would be too it wouldn't even be like coincidental, it would be like fate, whereas in real life you're with people because you like them.
Yeah.
And
I think
that's where it ends. I don't think there needs to be some mythical sort of mystic thing that keeps them together and why they're destined to be together. It can be they liked each other's faces. I don't know.
No, but then we are talking about a mythical vampire-like creature as well.
Yeah, I know, but just, there has to be a touch of reality.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I'm with you because I like you. I'm not with you because I'm meant to be destined with you. Like, my dad isn't like your dad's ghost or something. Like, I don't know. I've seen your dad. I think we're good. But, like, you know what I mean? I think you can just, not everything needs to be so much. It can just be you get into these relationships and you're with them because you're with the person.
Yeah, I think it's just that Hollywood effect, that kind of don't show me or give me these poignant things if they're not going to amount to a great deal of storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think, you know, it does shape a character,
mm-hmm.
but it's just kind of, I don't know, I want something more.
I really liked Brianna's character. I thought I thought she was great, and I think she played it off really well, and she had a heaviness to her heart, and you could feel that. It was palpable.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you needed. You needed to see a backstory. Because really, if you think about her character without any of that, she would be so two-dimensional.
Yeah, yeah.
She would be in the background. She'd
just
be...
just a girlfriend. Yeah.
Whereas she's not. She's... even when she's the protagonist's girlfriend, she has such a big... on-screen presence, and she is such a key feature to this film.
Mm.
So I think she does need that.
Yeah, no, it's...
Have I won my point? I feel like I've turned you.
No, you haven't turned me at all.
I was like, he's agreeing with me.
I know what I want.
Yeah, I know. But when you looked at me, you're like, yeah, I get it. I was like, oh my God, it's happened.
No.
No, right.
But yeah, I kind of don't really want to say too much more because it's a new film, as we said.
Yeah, no, I know. I will say that I've got a lot of comments where it says like, it's gory and stuff and it's scary. I did not find this film scary. There was slightly a couple of gore, but I sat there like deadpan, like absolutely no problem.
Yeah. Do you have kind of any reviews?
Yeah,
did you get some?
So this is from Letterboxd. It's 5-star. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say the name of the movie is in the movie.
Guy's a genius.
I know. He's on it. He's on it. The thing is, this isn't like the kind of film where you're like, they said the name. I enjoyed this movie, but I am also deeply disturbed.
Fair enough.
Yeah, gets to the point.
Is that two statements?
One sentence is a carry-on.
Okay.
There's no commas.
I like this film. By the way, I'm also deeply disturbed.
Yeah, so maybe they're saying if they weren't disturbed, they wouldn't like it.
Yes.
That's what animals are referring to.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Gave me chills. What a masterpiece.
Okay. Is there a word count on Letterboxd?
Not that I know. To be fair, I'm poorly, so there was longer comments.
Okay.
I wasn't looking at those and I wasn't writing them down. Plus, new film, not that many comments. I didn't have a lot to choose from. Not to be a pesky film nerd, but every shot in this movie was a piece of art.
Ooh.
Yeah. There was actually art in this film, so you might be referring to that.
Oh, please not be that, because that then sucks.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I legit almost cried in the theatre. It was that scary.
It's not a scary film,
really,
I don't think.
Not.
It's one of those films that...
There's like a couple of like gooey bits, like eesh.
Yeah.
That some people were squirming at. And then there was one like proper bit that was pure gore.
Mm.
It was very over quickly, and I did not feel, and I sat there like,
So I went into this film thinking, oh, cinema film, I haven't seen a horror cinema film for a long time, going to be jumpy. And then as soon as I saw it said 15, the rating here, I was like, I know what this is.
There was an advert for some horror film. I can't remember what it's called. Malignant or something?
Malignant.
Is that right?
Yes.
Did I get it right? Oh my God. The new James Wan film.
Yeah.
And that scared me more. That made me jump, and I felt physically uncomfortable with that film. That was a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to see the cinema for that because that was a lot.
Yeah.
I said, and there's a lot of these type of comments just to give you a head up. So I'm now going into half a star.
Okay.
So I said Candyman out loud in the theatre 5 times and got kicked out. So, and to be fair, this doesn't say that he was in the Candyman cinema, so he could have just been in like Peter Rabbit too.
Just anyway, yeah.
Not enough candy.
I mean, it does. It has a point. There isn't a lot of candy.
Well, there's a Pick-a-Mix outside.
In the cinema or in the...
I don't know.
In the film.
I was chowing down to an ice cream with some like Ben Jerry Toppings. I was fine. But there was a full range of a Pick-a-Mix outside.
Yeah, I think it's too early into COVID for Pick-a-Mix personally.
I don't know. There was a Wilko's opposite. They have a good Pick-a-Mix. You always get a Wilko's Pick-a-Mix. You never get it from the
cinema. It's slightly cheaper. Yeah. It's right next door.
I slept through the whole thing. I'd like to know how that was physically possible, seeing how loud it was.
I mean, the darkness may have helped. Maybe they've just got a little bit of darkness and gone.
Maybe. I do know people like that. You are people like that.
Yeah.
This is half a star. Too much tension for my poor heart. One extra point for the design of the house, though. Jeez.
Is this a half a star?
That was a half a star.
So they were minus half a star.
Well, yeah, they said that they were going to give an extra point and then just didn't.
Unless they were at minus half a star, gave a point to bring us to half a star.
Maybe a poor heart can take it.
Yeah.
This was not good. There was dots.
I mean, it's concise.
Yeah, it's to the point. But again, you know how we've talked about this, like reviews could be anything? That could really be anything. I know, like, off the top of my head, 5 films that could be a review for.
It's just one of those things. There's something that's like going on YouTube and just finding like the most mundane picture of just like a dog yawning and just writing fake and then just let people...
Or sus.
Yeah. Just let people go wild. So maybe that's what that's trying to do.
Maybe. Said it 5 times and I didn't die. I'd like a refund. That was 1 star. This person could have chosen half a star.
I imagine there was a lot of those.
Yeah, a lot of those. There was a lot of people trying to make this joke, and I was like, okay, I'm picking 2, that's it.
Yeah.
This was 1 star. Where was the trypanophobia warning? And then that comment in caps with an exclamation mark at the end was repeated 5 times.
Okay. I appreciate that somewhere.
I appreciate that. It was definitely 1 bit at the end where I was like, oh, gold.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a lot. So I understand that fully.
So, yeah.
Let me end this. So we saw Candyman. We left. Of course, like most humans do, I went to the toilet after the cinema and went in because it was the end of the film. A load of people did with me. So I sat there, waited for it to become empty, and then decided to go out because I was like, I don't want to see people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to like share a hand dryer. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't want to look people in the eyes. So I walk out, mirrors.
Yeah.
Everywhere, just like a whole row of them.
Yeah.
And I'm there with myself at the night after watching Candyman, alone in a room, just mirrors.
Did you say it?
No, I didn't say it. I'm glad I went to the toilet before, let's just say that. So I washed my hands very quickly and I was still, my head, see, you know sometimes when you walk up the stairs and for some reason you'll just go, run now. I was like that. I was just washing my hands and in the back of my head was like, go, you need to go now. Don't. Go, go, go.
Go, go, go.
I didn't. I took a selfie. Okay. Is what I did. To try and...
For the gram.
For the gram. I tried to overcome my fears. And you will see when I post this selfie, the old crap face of like my like, why?
Why have I done this to myself?
Yeah. I was like, what is worse? Thinking about it and being like, no, I'm not doing people. Like, no. And then I got out and was like, did mirrors instead.
Yeah.
Like a rational person. Didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. COVID or Candyman.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. Didn't dry my hands. There's no way I was adding loud noises to that.
Shaking your hands.
Yeah. My coat was very wet. So yeah, I'm not rushing to go to the cinema anytime soon.
Yeah.
and I'm not rushing to go to a toilet anytime soon. Like mainly like a cubicle-esque toilet.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. It's just too much. It's too much. I've got you to cover all the mirrors in the house. It's fine.
Yes. Scores?
You want to go first, or do I?
I'll go first. Just crack on. I mean, for me, I do like this film, but I do think it has its holes. Sorry to say holes. I prefer the older one.
Oh, really?
Just because I think there's something about the music I think is very good. The kind of...
Philip Glass.
Okay.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, so I think the music, the 90s kind of feel to it gives that gothic vibe mm-hmm. so much better than it does in this film.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go 5 for 90s, 4 for 2021.
That's very low, Luke. Very
yes.
Low. Jeez. I liked both films. I liked them. I thought they were good. I found the 90s one, even to this day... I like Tony Todd. I think he's powerful. It's very slow. It's very slow.
Yeah.
And like it feels long. I don't know how long the first one is. It feels long.
Yeah.
And like we watched it on a Friday night at like 11 o'clock and thinking, you know, we're just gonna suck it up and do it. And maybe it wasn't the greatest time to watch it, but it felt ruddy long.
Yeah.
But overall good film.
Yeah.
It was a good take on a horror film.
Mm.
It was a good start of a lore. But the lore did feel heavy.
Yes.
Like not only with the backstory of him as actually a heavy subject matter, but the differences of him, like the hook,
there's
the mirrors, it's convoluted.
Yeah, slightly. Horror story rules are good. There's just too many rules.
It's you can tell the writer picked up his inspiration from all over the place,
mm.
but he really should have had an inner editor being like, enough now.
I don't need this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, unlike you, I really liked the 2021 one.
Mm.
Really liked it. I liked the more in-depth of the Candyman story and how it's evolved. I liked the social media aspect of it and it going viral. I liked watching Anthony, his sort of journey. I thought the characters were so much more thought out and they had depth to them. There was like pretty much all the characters had some level of depth. And even like minor characters, you did see a backstory or you saw all of them felt thought out.
Mm.
Whereas in the 90s version, everyone kind of felt a bit 2D. Like Helen, I know nothing about Helen apart from that she's doing her thesis.
Yeah.
Like absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So I loved it that you did just, everything just seemed more thought out. Like I know that there's three writers on there and it can become a bit... concentrated. Sometimes you do need someone to go in and thin out a bit, like you said.
Yeah.
And go, actually, do we need that? It just needs more editing, I think, on
the
story. But overall, it is solid. Like, I liked the evolution. I'm just repeating myself. I liked it. I really did.
Mm.
I'd happily, when it comes out, go see it again. Probably not at the cinema, because no thanks.
Yeah.
But on my TV, where I can talk out the light and the volume. We're cracking.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 6.5 for 90s and 7.5 on the 21.
Okay.
I feel like 7.5 is a bit low, but it's not perfect. I'd like to see some, after this, you know, we've had our chat, but I'd like to see some other reviews for things.
Yeah.
Especially a different aspect of mine. I can only perceive things through my views and my sort of eyes. So I'd really like to look into it and see other people's reviews and things. So overall, it's 11.5 for each of them.
For both of them.
My God, that's weird.
Yeah.
So we cannot decide which Candyman is better.
No.
Okay.
No, so end of the day, you'll have to go and watch it for yourself. And,
yeah,
and
you have to decide.
Which one it is. But in terms of topic, with The Invisible Man 2020. Yeah.
So you think The Invisible Man is better?
I mean, I do like The Invisible Man. I do think that the 2020 film is, I think there's a lot of suspense in that film.
Considering that this topic should be remakes, horror remakes, it fills the quota compared to this one.
Yes.
And that's as much as I'm going to give you, because I don't think The Invisible Man is a better film than Candyman. So moving on to next week.
Next week... we're not basically going to do a topic.
No.
We're just going to pick a one-off film just because we're about to kind of enter October. So we're kind of...
We want to hear that thing hard.
Yeah, so we're obviously heading into a spooky season. So before that, we're going to kind of shift gears slightly. Pick a film that we're not really that bothered by.
Not at all. Not one iota, but it's close to home.
Yes, it could be interesting to kind of have a thing that we both don't like.
Oh yeah, if you didn't want to do this and Luke argued it well, you couldn't pay me to watch this film.
Yeah, like Devin says, it's close to home. So we're actually going to review the new Amazon original.
The Amazon exclusive.
Cinderella.
Yeah.
As we said, it's close to home.
Yep.
This is actually filmed not far from us, maybe 5-6 miles away, something like that. Yeah. It's not far away.
No.
And we'll go and visit where it's filmed.
It is a location that is close to Luke and I's heart.
Yep.
We had our wedding reception there.
Yes.
We had all the grounds to do our wedding photography. I probably won't share that because I looked awful in those pictures. So maybe you'll just get some shots of Luke and me cropped out.
But yeah, we'll do a few kind of social media posts and things like that. So it'll be interesting just to kind of talk about a film like that and definitely lighten the mood before we step into
to the dark. I can't remember what is Cinderella. Do you have to be back by midnight or something?
Yeah.
Don't forget your glass slipper. I'm prepping my notes. I'm guessing there won't be a kill count for this film.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Gosh, I'm not looking forward to this. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, head over to our social media pages at LNIW Podcast.
Last Night I Watched can be found on all major podcasting platforms, and while you're there, please subscribe and leave us a review.
Last Night I Watched is also on Patreon. Pledging your support is the best way to help the podcast.
So we would really appreciate it if you could throw us a tip in our virtual tip jar so we can continue to keep watching.
It is so loud. Yeah.